Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. We have begun a new series of messages on the subject of the example of Christ to the believer. And in the first message that I gave, I explained the whole purpose of this series, the fact that the Lord Jesus is our only perfect example, why we use Jesus as our example. And in the second message, we talked about how we're going to serve other people, following the example of the Lord Jesus. We took this from John chapter 13. I want to emphasize again the importance of the example of the Lord Jesus himself. He was in every way tempted like as we are. Hebrews 4 talks to us about this, and we'll be mentioning this a little bit later. But Hebrews 4 talks about this. He was in every way tempted as we are, and then it says, yet without sin. In other words, the Lord Jesus never failed in any possible way. He lived a perfect life. He lives as a perfect example in his day and in our day. And so, many times when other people fail us, we are tempted to say, if this is the way Christians are, if we're not saved, we might say this, if this is the way Christians are, then I don't want to be a Christian. Or, if we are a Christian, if this is the way other Christians are going to act, I don't want to have anything to do with these other Christians. We need to remember, and I want to emphasize this again and again, we are sinners saved by the grace of God. No matter how dedicated we are, and I trust that those of you who are listening have already made that deep decision in your hearts to dedicate your hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus, making him not only your Savior, but your Lord. He wants to be your Lord as well. And I trust that you've taken that step, or that you are taking that step, or that even today you will take that step. But no matter how much you've dedicated your lives to the Lord, there will be time, with your old sinful nature still present, that you're going to fail the Lord. We in this life will never be sinlessly perfect. God wants us to live apart from sin, but in practice, we will never be sinlessly perfect, either in our thoughts, in our words, in our feelings, in our attitudes, in our actions, or in some other way. Sometime we're going to fail the Lord. Now the problem is that as we live in this world, sometimes other people are going to see this. We hope they don't see our failures. We hope they never understand the thoughts of our hearts, for instance. But they sometimes are going to see our failures. This will be disillusioning to them. And therefore, I want to emphasize, it is important that we point them to the Lord Jesus. Of course, we need to tell them we're sorry when we failed. We need to repent of it before God and before others when need be. But the important thing is, we point them to the Lord Jesus. This is never an excuse, the failure of Christians, for any unsaved person turning away from the Lord, because the Lord does not fail. The Lord does not in any way sin. And so we turn them to the Lord Jesus. He is the only perfect example. Now today, I have chosen another way that we follow the example of the Lord Jesus. And this has to do with pleasing God. The importance of pleasing God. And again, the example of the Lord Jesus is found in John chapter 8, where the Lord Jesus is speaking. I want to say just a word about these chapters from chapter 5 down to chapter 11. These chapters, of course, are emphasizing the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus is speaking, of course, in his humanity. But it's also emphasizing his deity. Again and again, he speaks of his deity. There are those false teachers today who deny that Jesus is God, that he is truly God. And the Bible clearly teaches this if you study these chapters, chapters 5 through 11 of John. Now let's look at the example of the Lord Jesus. Verse 28. Then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall see that I am he. But as my Father, then the last part of that verse, but as my Father hath taught me, so I speak these things. And then verse 29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, And then this last phrase, "For I always do those things that please Him." I always do those things that please Him. So even in His humanity, the Lord Jesus was looking to the Father and was pleasing the Father, was obeying what they had agreed upon before He ever came into this world. The book of Hebrews talks about a conversation that the Lord Jesus had with the Father. God the Son, God the Father had in heaven before He came into the world. And in this conversation, the Lord Jesus offered Himself to go into the world and die for our sins. He was not yet offered on the cross, but He made a decision in heaven. And this pleased the Father. They agreed on this action by the Lord Jesus. This action is recorded in Hebrews. He said, "I come to do Thy will, O God." And again in the book of Philippians, this action is recorded, where He came down out of heaven. He pleased the Father in leaving heaven. It was not possible for Him to die for our sins up there in heaven. He had to come here on the earth and be shamefully reviled and shamefully treated by men here on the earth. He had to be beaten. His back had to be torn. The crown of thorns had to be put on His head. He had to be mocked and reviled by people who stood around the cross after He was nailed to the cross. His blood had to be shed. The sword had to be thrust into His side. I'm not trying to simply present a horrible picture, but I'm trying to say that that's what pleasing the Father meant. It meant that He would leave heaven's glory. He would come down to this earth. He would die this shameful death on the cross and then finally be exalted back up into heaven again. But He was pleasing the Father. So He said, "Everything I do pleases the Father." In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, He speaks of how we please the Father. Verse 10 has this to say, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." And the words there are not just unto all pleasing, but unto all pleasing of God, in other words. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Then He continues. In other words, following the example of the Lord Jesus, we also are to please God. And we have the wonderful example of the Lord Jesus in this, the perfect example of the Lord Jesus. There could be no one more wonderful, no more glorious example than this example of the Lord Jesus and what it cost Him to please the Father. They made an agreement, and in order to fulfill that agreement, Jesus had to leave heaven's glory to come down, die on the cross for our sins, this shameful death. What an example this is to us in living our Christian lives today. If Jesus was willing to do this, how much less, in fact, how much more, in fact, must I be willing to do anything and everything in following the Lord Jesus in my life? If He could give me such an example, I would be encouraged by it. If He could give me such an example, I would be helped by it. The Holy Spirit, in fact, would use this example to help me in my Christian life. So, not only would we desire it, but we would be helped in our Christian life by the Holy Spirit. Now, we cannot please God by ourselves. It is with, of course, the help of the Holy Spirit that we please God. But we're looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Over in the book of Hebrews, He is finished now, this wonderful chapter on faith, where He talks about all of the different people who through faith followed the Lord, and how faithfully they follow the Lord. And then in chapter 12 of Hebrews, He has this to say, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, seeing we are surrounded or compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And then these words, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. There was a temptation for these people to feel that their greatest example would be the people in verse 1, this great cloud of witnesses of Hebrews chapter 11. But in verse 2 now, he turns them unto the Lord Jesus. He says, no, look to Jesus. These people, of course, encourage us. They lived by faith. They walked lives that were open and righteous before God. But the greatest example in verse 2 is Jesus himself. And you're to look to him. He's to be your example of faithfulness. He's to be your example of endurance. He's to your example of joy in serving God, in joy in walking before God. So in every way, in spite of the fact that we have many witnesses from the Old Testament, many faithful men that we could look to, and we're surrounded by these people, but our greatest example in verse 2 is still the Lord Jesus. And so my prayer for you today is that you might not only desire to follow the Lord Jesus, but you might be encouraged and strengthened by the example the Lord Jesus has left you. He himself is our example in being and following God, in pleasing God. So when we live our lives pleasing to God, we're following the example of the Lord Jesus himself. And so I pray that you might follow his example, and in your lives you would be pleasing to God. May God bless you and help you, each one.